Hello and welcome to a production of Mylan K Resources. I'm Mylan Yurkovich together with my wife Kay, and today we're discussing the love style of the chaotic, disorganized attachment style, which we sometimes then refer to as the controller and the victim. Welcome to this time together, and Kay, what kind of a child home tends to create this chaotic imprint, and what do we really mean by that?
Well, this kind of home is really a home where there's fright without solutions. In this home, a child, there's no rhyme or reason to connection. Mm-hmm. The parents, perhaps there's mental illness, perhaps there's an addiction, perhaps there's violence or abuse, sexually, emotionally, physically. And so the child needs this family to survive, but yet there's at least one person in this family that's terrorizing or neglecting. And it puts a child in a very distressing situation. Many times there's really no one's seeing the child's distress. No mm-hmm. one's addressing the child's distress. And so they're left with trying to figure things out on their own, trying to adapt to chaos. And it's tough on kids.
Yeah. And they are actually, in many cases, abused, misused, neglected, but they can be threatened and scared. I've had people in these homes tell me guns were pointed at them. They've seen parents point guns at each other. It's really fright without solutions, as Mary Main says, who helped to identify this attachment style. And so the child ends up, this background makes them, as you said, there's no rhyme or reason. Another way to say that in the attachment literature is they're highly disorganized. There's no organizational collection of how it is that people end up connecting. And with that, Kay, comes such, because they're intimidated so much, they have high levels of humiliation. They're being humiliated. They're scared. They're shamed. And, you know, the spunky kids tend to fight back and push back. But then there's the victim. They have the same background that this chaotic controller might have. The chaotic controller fights back. But what does the victim do in response to all this?
Well, the more compliant child is going to hide. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and avoid what's reality of what's going on. They may get very good at going off into their own world and dissociating and kind of being in another place while abuse is going on. And so, you know, an extreme home produces an extreme reaction. And the controller is an extreme reaction to, as long as I'm controlling my world, then I don't have to go back and feel this childhood pain. I don't have to feel terror. I don't have to feel humiliated. I don't have to feel ashamed or lonely. And for the victim, they're the compliant kid, and if they just stay under the radar and keep tolerating the intolerable, which they don't really even know what normal is, so they've learned already as a child to tolerate the intolerable, and they often continue to do so as an adult. And it's just, you know, so many times when people will come to us at a workshop or email us and say, well, when I heard the avoider, I thought I was an avoider. Then I heard the pleaser, and I thought, oh, no, I'm a pleaser. Then I heard the vacillator, and I thought, oh, well, no, I'm a vacillator. Now, can you be all of these? And my next question is always, did you come from a really difficult childhood? And the answer is always yes.
Almost always,
almost
isn't it?
Always. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what that tells us is that these poor kids tried everything. They tried to sort of detach and be independent. They tried to please and be the good kid. Maybe they got a crumb of something good once in a while, so they hoped for more. But the truth is, nothing really worked. And so they're left with, you know, that feisty one learns to take charge, and the victim just learns to fly under the radar and avoid the anger of the controller.
So then these children come from this atmosphere, which is, again, the very place they should go to for nurture and support and security is the opposite in all of those things. And so it is a dangerous place to grow up.
It is. And our heart so goes out to this group
of
people.
Oh, my gosh. This is such a horrible group.
It's a difficult journey. And I think, you know, in these folks, there's more unresolved trauma than there is in any other group. There's not just a lack of comfort. There is trauma. And by unresolved, I mean no one's comforting, no one's asking about it, no one's rescuing you from it. There's no way to process it. And so it just gets stuffed down and it's unresolved. And they enter adulthood, and many times the controller and the victim find each other. It's such a predictable, common pattern. And they marry, and then they wonder, why is marriage so hard? And when you think about it, well, not only were they not given any good role modeling, not given any good listening skills, any good resolution skills, but rather they were traumatized. And trauma tends to make a child highly reactive, whether it's highly reactive to get angry or highly reactive to internalize and go away.
To freeze. Yeah. So then these kids grow up and they become adults. And so the controller, and I've seen male and female, we mustn't just stereotype these as male. I've seen female controllers as well. You know, as a result of being in that intimidated, terrorized, traumatic place, they decide, I'm never going to be there again. And so they flip up into the top position of the controller. And so they use really anger and intimidation to make people be what they want them to be and to be into a place that is predictable to them and to cause them not to feel high levels of agitation because their life was so unpredictable. They want people to stay in a little tiny box that makes them feel safe. And in that, they use anger and intimidation, but they are unaware of their vulnerable feelings of anxiety and fear as to why they need to keep people in that place. They don't ask questions of people. They just give orders and they demand responses. They are the fighters. They fight and they control people so as to not feel their childhood pain. And so what happens is they totally avoid by this entire distraction that just what they feel. They just ignore it all, and they use anger to cover it. Now, what do they do with, you know, these people are really prone to addictions.
Well, I would say both the controller and the victim are really prone to addictions because there's so much pain to try and get rid of. And, of course, addictions of any kind, whether it's alcohol or drugs or shopping or stealing or eating, they provide a sense of relief without having to need a person. They're non-relational sources of relief. And so if we grew up with a lot of trauma, no relief, we're probably going to need something, and we're going to tend towards non-relational ways of soothing since we've never found relationships to be safe. So there's a high rate of addictive behavior, and I mean, we're all susceptible to this, but sure. I would say the higher the level of pain you grew up with, the more susceptible. And the interesting thing is, traumas become so normal, high states of anxiety have become so normal, that these people don't really have any connection to the child they once were. They are absolutely separated from that early experience in their hearts and in their minds, and they describe their childhood home with laughter, with jokes, minimizing what went on. And they say things like, oh, yeah, well, my dad was a raging alcoholic, but whatever, I got over it, I survived it, and, you know, it's in the past.
They don't want to look back, do they? They don't, and they don't want to look at the pain that was actually caused to them as a child. They really resist that.
They don't think there's any resolution for it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that pain can be comforted, that pain can be validated, that someone can look in your eyes and have tears for what you went through. I worked with a man that came from one of the most abusive backgrounds I have ever heard. I could not listen to his story without tearing up. It was so horrific. And he said to me one day, I do not like it when you get tears in your eyes. And I said, okay, stay with me here. I said, I handed him the feeling word list and I said, how does it make you feel? And he said, well, angry. I said, keep going down the list. And he said, there's pause. And he said, uncomfortable. vulnerable, ashamed. And I said, okay, now we're getting somewhere. He says, it makes me feel things I don't want to feel. So I said, really?